Item number 10 from the Director of Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services, Department of Administrative Services, Facilities Management, submitting an informational report regarding the development of a watershed-based stormwater permit. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Keith, welcome. Would you introduce yourself and our guest?
Well, certainly. Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Steve Keith. I am the section manager for the Environmental Services section of the Architectural Engineering Division. One more person. And the item before you today is an informational only report, and it pertains to our Milwaukee County stormwater permit. Sorry, guys.
I don't know, did the music start or what?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah. Okay, for those who
excuse me. And joining me this morning is Mr. Jeff Martinka. He's the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Watershed Trust, and also Mr. Brian Hartsook, who's a water resources engineer with Wisconsin DNR. So I'm going to provide a little bit of background on this item, and then I'm going to turn it over to these gentlemen to assist me with the presentation. Do you have that presentation on your... I'm sorry, this is the first time I've done it since we didn't have the big screen up here. So, about 5 years ago, Milwaukee County was issued a stormwater permit as an outcome of federal and state regulations that were passed about the middle part of last decade. And those regulations affected both municipalities and counties throughout the nation, including the state of Wisconsin, and Milwaukee County was one of those that was affected by those rules. Our permit, which stipulates requirements for things like how we monitor our stormwater outfalls and how we conduct our public education and outreach, is typically renewed every 5 years, and ours is coming up for a renewal in several months from now. A little more than a year ago, about a dozen communities from Milwaukee County and Waukesha County started to collaborate to develop what I guess we would call an alternative permit. And this major difference of the permit that was being developed was one that was structured more along the boundaries of river watersheds rather than the jurisdictional boundaries of each municipality. And in this case, where these communities were doing this collaboration, revolved around the Menominee River watershed, which covers the western portion of Milwaukee County and the eastern portions of Waukesha County. Now, that collaboration involved about a dozen governmental entities, as well as regulatory agencies, planning agencies, and environmental groups. And the result of this effort is currently, it's referred to as like a draft permit, a draft group permit, which Milwaukee County can elect to participate in. But it's not a requirement for us to participate, and we can revert and maintain something along the structure of our existing permit. Now, while that permitting process and that negotiation with the Department of Natural Resources has largely been responsibility of our Environmental Services section, and board approval is not a prerequisite to our participation in this group permit, we did feel it appropriate to make this presentation to the committee today for several reasons. One, to make you aware of our participation in an effort I think by most accounts is not only trend-setting, but also has broad support from both regulated communities and regulatory agencies as well. And secondly, to solicit questions, comments, or concerns that the committee might have on our intent probably to pursue this group permit. And because this subject is a little bit complex, I've asked the representatives from Sweetwater Trust and the DNR to assist me with this presentation. With that, I'm going to turn over to Mr. Martinka.
Mr. Martinka, welcome.
Good morning, all. As Steve said, I'm Jeff Martinka. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit organization called Sweetwater with the Southeastern Wisconsin Watersheds Trust. The whole premise behind Sweetwater is to try to build partnerships across the entire region, the five watersheds of the Milwaukee region, to plan more cost-effective approaches to water quality. We're going to be talking to you today about two different, very different partnerships. One that Steve's already referenced, which is our efforts to put together a watershed-based permit for the region. Steve, you're going to have to help me with the technology here. How do we put the poll permit? It's
loaded, right? Do we have some technological assistance here? I think we're going to need it.
Uh-huh. We didn't do so good with the chairs, so we might need help with that.
Should we go to a commercial break? Who's this sponsored by, anyways?
Maybe in the interim, while they're taking care of the snafus here, you could focus on this switch from the watershed boundaries, from the original municipal boundaries, I would assume, to watershed boundaries and the advantages that are built into that.
Sounds great. We're going to be doing this as a team, so some of the details of that question, actually, Brian is going to be covering, but I can cover it in layman's terms at least. Sure. Typically, the Department of Natural Resources issues stormwater permits on an individual municipality by municipality basis, where each municipality, Elm Grove, Germantown, Menominee Falls, Milwaukee County, in fact, each of them has their own stormwater permit, and they act independently as if there was some mysterious boundary between the borderline of the Menominee River in one community and another. In fact, of course, water doesn't pay any attention to municipal boundaries. What we know is that if municipalities work together to mutual benefit, water quality can benefit from that partnership. And that's actually the gist of what we're trying to do. What we benefited from in the case of the Menominee is there was already an informal partnership. And let me go back in history a little bit for at least some of the folks that might not be familiar. What we have in the Milwaukee area in terms of water quality is we don't have a very happy history in terms of partnership going back over the last few decades. In fact, some of the partners in the Menominee watershed, some of the partners that are in this proposed new partnership, spent millions of dollars litigating each other in terms of who paid for what in terms of water quality. What I'm really proud of is several years ago, eight different municipalities, frankly former adversaries in different sides of the sewer wars, came together to form a loose partnership to jointly plan water quality information, public outreach basically, across boundaries. What we're doing with this effort is we're taking that to the next level, where we're trying to put together a much broader watershed-based permit that includes, actually we're looking at 11 different governmental jurisdictions across the Menominee River. Let me pause. Should we make believe it's not going to work?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we're going to wing it.
Yep.
Good. Okay.
So let me go back to the basics. The Menominee River watershed is one of the five watersheds in the Milwaukee area. There are about 20 different governmental jurisdictions, either governmental or quasi-governmental jurisdictions within the Menominee watershed. To put it in a relative sense, MMSD, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewers District, serves about 400 square miles of area across the region. The Menominee watershed, by contrast, is about 130, 135 square miles, to give you a sense for it. It actually extends at the far north to include Germantown all the way down to where it empties into the Milwaukee River at about the Harley-Davidson Museum. There are four counties within the watershed, 17 cities and villages and towns. I'm sort of talking from some of the PowerPoints that you're not able to see. And then there's also, I talked about quasi-governmental units, the county stadium and state fair are their own units within the watershed. What Sweetwater did, what my organization did, is we learned of a pool of money available at EPA Region 5 to try to foster cooperation across municipal boundaries. And Sweetwater put together an application requesting $100,000 from the EPA to help fund an effort to group these municipalities together. We were successful in getting that money, and with it we hired SewerPEC to put together basically about a year and a half effort to take the individual stormwater permits that had been historically in place and craft a single stormwater permit that would overarch across as many municipalities as possible. What I'm happy to tell you is it's looking like we'll have something like 90% of the municipalities within the Menominee River watershed all under this group permit. That process was not easy, but what I'm really pleased by is throughout the meetings we had between 10 and 15 municipal representatives, that's directors of public works or stormwater engineers, or Steve representing Milwaukee County, attending those sessions, trying to figure out what the different municipalities were willing to do and what they thought they couldn't do in terms of a joint permit.
I think while we're finished keying up the PowerPoint slides here, I think Jeff did a really nice job of summarizing just how great we think that this permit process has been and the product of this process has been, which is a draft permit.
Hey, could I interrupt long enough to ask you to introduce yourself? And who you represent?
Yes, sir. I'm Brian Hartsook. I'm a water resources engineer, primarily with the stormwater program with the Wisconsin DNR. I'm stationed out of the Waukesha Service Center.
Very good. Thank you.
Apologize.
Proceed. This is a brand new system, folks, so
yeah,
there are some bugs to be worked out, and hopefully we've done that. You want the lights up?
So Jeff already ran through the background and the geography there. He did mention that 90% of the communities are likely to be participating, so right now we have likely participation from 11 of the 16 permitted municipalities in the watershed, two of which are State Fair Park and the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District. Those are going to maintain coverage under their own separate individual permits, and that's because they're largely unlike your standard municipal stormwater system. They're kind of a contained facility. They're more like a traditional point source versus the nature of our urban non-point source runoff, so we decided to keep them separate. Although that does not preclude them from participating in any of the meetings or any of the joint projects that might be developed as part of the watershed project or watershed permit. So this was a year-long process that we all went through. Began in July of 2011, and by we mean the several stakeholders. We had Sewer PEC. MMSD actually received the grant from EPA, $100,000 in a cooperative agreement grant to fund this development of the permit. So they were attending the meetings. At any given time, we had 16 representatives from different municipalities, and we had MEA was attending the meetings. We also had a number of non-governmental organizations such as Sweetwater and 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin and Milwaukee River Keepers. So it was a large and variable group, and it brought a lot of different perspectives to the table to help kind of review the existing permit language and figure out where we were not exactly targeting water quality enough and following just the bureaucratic lines of meeting permit conditions. So we got at that existing permit language, and we also drafted some new permit conditions as well.
I'd mentioned that some of the municipalities historically hadn't worked together as closely as they did in this process, but the other point that made our approach unique is we actually had the environmental NGOs that sometimes would be in a very adversarial context with MMSD, with some of the municipalities at the table talking about the particular pieces of the regulation.
So as I mentioned, work began July 2011. We had our last meeting this past July. We're on schedule for public noticing the permit by the end of October, so we're looking for an issue date of November 2012. The reason we're doing that is because we're trying to synchronize the timing of that issuance of the permit with the development of the Milwaukee River TMDLs. They're by contract, those are set to be completed by the end of this year. That means they still have to go through the EPA approval process, but we wanted to ensure, and we'll see later in the incentive, as I described the incentives, that we wanted to get this permit out ahead of the approval of that TMDL, because that would, in the end, afford the municipalities an additional time frame for compliance with that long-term goal of those total maximum daily loads, the new water quality criteria, basically, for municipal point sources. So I'm going to run through the permit process, the structure, and the incentives. So the key features of the process is that Sewer PAC, they're very good at documenting everything. So they were at all the meetings, and they kept meeting minutes, and they facilitated the meetings. We met at Brookfield City Hall, as I mentioned, 8 times. We had a number of the stakeholders there, and we were always cognizant of, again, matching permit conditions to what the Milwaukee River TMDLs will be later on. So we're not exactly addressing the total maximum daily loads through the implementation of this permit cycle, but we've kind of joked in saying that this permit term is more or less kind of the training wheels for TMDL implementation, because it sets the foundation for communication, and we'll see through collaborative efforts through both planning and hopefully implementing watershed projects for the Menominee River watershed. Those are the kinds of communication, at least the process with the meetings and so forth, that are necessary to get at the pollution reductions that are likely going to be needed through the total maximum daily loads. So we, as I mentioned, we went and looked at the existing Menominee Group permit, and it had some very good language in it already, but we improved upon that language. And so the structure of that existing permit is that there was 8 existing municipalities covered, so there was a set of group conditions, and there was also a set of individual conditions. So what we try to do with this permit is we try to de-emphasize the individual conditions, because those are items in their municipal programs that they're likely going to continue implementing anyway. A good example of that is setting up their erosion control or their stormwater management ordinances. As a part of this permit, you're not going to all of a sudden drop maintenance of that program. So we're allowing that to continue through this permit program as an individual condition. However, we emphasize collaboration through the group conditions. So through that, we looked at having joint meetings and a joint annual reporting to the DNR for public involvement, participation, public education outreach, which Jeff is largely involved in. We really revamped the way that municipalities pool their resources together and look at their storm sewer systems collectively to better target illicit discharge detection elimination. So, you know, things that shouldn't be connected up to the storm sewer. Before, municipalities were all screening their own individual outfalls, which Village of Germantown, for example, was not coming up with anything, because it's largely not a concern. It usually doesn't happen. But if we were to pull our resources together, say with Village of Germantown, Menominee Falls, pull into a joint program for, say, City of West Allis, or we know City of Wauwatosa has some illicit connections through their old aging infrastructure, pull those resources together to better target those outfalls. Again, we're trying to, the goal of this permit is to improve water quality in the watershed. So whereas before, the separate permit programs was like a blanket coverage, like a shotgun kind of approach, we're trying to focus those things down to get at water quality in a better way. The key component of the watershed permit, to give it its, you know, lack of a better term, its watershed flavor, is we developed a watershed project permit condition where a municipality, either individually or a set of municipalities, can jointly plan and submit a, you know, quote-unquote watershed project. And by planning and completion of a watershed project, that can automatically satisfy any number of either group or individual conditions in the permit. So theoretically, if, you know, the likely 11 participants were to pool in and really come up with a 5-year plan for a really large watershed project, a small example being focusing the illicit discharge detection elimination, or if they want to do with structural control practices, or if they want to do a much larger education effort, they can do that and satisfy for the entire permit term any number of other permit conditions. So that, again, we're really emphasizing collaborative efforts and these watershed projects to get at water quality. And one thing I'll mention about that is that through the process, we looked at the inventory. Thankfully, we have an inventory of existing monitoring and watershed planning data that we can use so that we can help plan these projects a little bit better. So again, the watershed project concept, this came about the 3rd or 4th meeting down the process, was found to be the best approach to date to combine both the efforts of what municipalities need to do in their own individual political boundary, but also give it that watershed appeal. And what it does is it creates a very large amount of flexibility in implementing the conditions to meet permit requirements. So DNR, we absolutely have to have what we call six minimum control measures in all municipal permits. There's 92 municipal permits in the Southeast region, by the way. And they all have to meet these six individual things for individually. Now, we're hopefully, through these watershed projects, allowing people to come up, there's got to be a better way than just going by the box each way for each municipality, especially when we're looking at achieving water quality in the watershed. So by combining those efforts, we're going to get at that a little bit better. And as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, and then bolded here in the PowerPoint, what the cooperation this permit really does is it lays the groundwork. It's the training wheels, essentially, for TMDL implementation, which is going to be very important. It's just one extra tool. I think we've all heard of, you know, adaptive management planning or pollutant trading and things like that. What this is going to do is just add one more layer to help achieve the pollution reductions that will be needed going in the future. The anticipated improvements for the watershed-based permit, in the interest of time, I already ran through most of these. I'll highlight that the annual reporting, we're going to switch from an annual reporting to a biannual reporting. That's already allowed in the administrative code. That will hopefully reduce some administrative costs. And, you know, largely things in this type of program don't change yearly. They change probably every other year. So, you know, we're removing some of the redundancy in some of the permit programs. We're adding requirement for municipalities that haven't met the 20% total suspended solids performance standard. So we're adding some additional requirements. It's not applicable for Milwaukee County. It would be for West Dallas, West Milwaukee, and State Fair Park. And I'm not going to bother really reading through those. Actually, Jeff, these are the incentives, but Jeff has a, if we could pass these around, this is a summary of the summary of the incentives for the watershed permit. And in the interest of time, I'll allow you to read through those on your own time, or if Jeff could maybe summarize some of those items. But
essentially what we're trying to do is we're trying to save money at the municipal level while also improving water quality by getting communities to work together. And the DNR and EPA have been very supportive of us putting together this new arrangement. We're very hopeful that it's going to bode well for the communities and in the Menominee watershed, and frankly, we're already hoping that it's going to be spreading to other watersheds in the region. So some of the same type of cooperation that's happening among these 11 communities is going to be happening in other parts of Milwaukee County as well. We're already working on a proposal to look at communities in the Kinnickinnick and Oak Creek watersheds to the south.
It certainly sounds like a significant reform, and the emphasis on collaboration rather than conflict should clear a lot of hurdles. Many of us, you're not quite old enough, Mark, but I go back to the days when Henry Meyer, the mayor of Milwaukee, would rave on about non-point pollution to the north, particularly of Milwaukee, and this has been wrought with conflict between municipalities for all of these decades following, and it's good to see this kind of effort, I think. Are there questions of these gentlemen by committee? Supervisor Alexander?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very clearly, you're all experts in this area, and you've done your research, and I'm impressed with the breadth and depth of what's been presented to this committee today. My question would be, you had mentioned that there will be public noticing for the permit in October and hoping to move forward with that in November. You know, anytime there's a public notice, aside from the formality of putting that information out there, you can always expect some sort of dissent or questions from the general public. I'm just curious, in doing any, you know, opposition research, if you will, do you have any concerns about reasons that people might come forward against this? And if so, what would your responses to those concerns be at that time? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I'll take it. The reason why this has been a year-long process and we've had so many people at the table is to avoid that type of situation. We brought to the table a variety of different interests. Regulators, implementers, you know, the people that actually, the permittees, and the environmental groups to hopefully, you know, capture any, you know, potential or foreseeable obstacles or challenges in the future. But there will be the 30-day public comment period, and One large comment that we might receive and was a challenge throughout the process is that, you know, this is a watershed permit, but it needs to also apply to the entire political boundary of a municipality. So I like using the example of City of Brookfield is basically half in the Fox River watershed, half in the Menominee River watershed. So their tax base in the Fox River watershed might say, well, this is de-emphasizing pollution control in the Fox River watershed, and it's focusing on the Menominee. And, you know, one part of that is, yeah, that's correct, because there's an identified need to address water quality with stormwater runoff in the Menominee River watershed. However, we've made an earnest effort through the permit process to make sure that we're not completely ignoring the discharge of pollution that's going into other parts of the basin. So that's one comment we might receive.
So do I understand correctly then that if there's two watershed areas that are running through one municipality, if that municipality is going to be part of this watershed permit and agreement, that this permit would substantially ignore the other watershed they're a part of, and they'll have to take care of that and address that on their own?
No, I wouldn't use the term ignore. I mentioned the individual conditions and the group conditions. All of the conditions are going to apply to the political boundary. The individual conditions certainly are going to apply to the political boundary. The group conditions and the watershed projects are going to emphasize implementation in the Menominee River watershed. However, if there's a project that, well, Milwaukee County, for example, I mean, looking at the map, they're about 40% of their areas in the Menominee River watershed. Through involvement in this permit, DNR by no means wants to detract from the county's involvement in the Kinnickinnick or Oak Creek or the Milwaukee River watershed. There's other projects that are available, then that's good, and you can achieve, you know, the education outreach and all the other permit conditions through implementation of those projects as well. But we'd like to focus on the Menominee River watershed project or watershed through implementation of the permit.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You. Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the duration of a permit, and what are the 8 municipalities that are in this group initiative?
A permit term is 5 years. So real quick, in the context of total maximum daily loads, we're looking at 3 permit cycles for compliance. That's the initial compliance schedule, so that'd be 15 years total. And when I mentioned about getting this permit out before approval, that would be 5 years plus the 15 years, so 20 years, because EPA has guidance that we need to include any pollution reductions, wastewater allocations, in the next permit cycle. So if we have a permit that's up for issuance in the next couple of years, that number's got to be in there. All of a sudden, they have 15 years versus the 20 years compared to everyone else. The existing 8 are Village of Germantown. I'll try to go from top bottom. Village of Germantown, Village of Menominee Falls, Village of Butler, Elm Grove, City of Brookfield, West Allis, Greenfield, City of Wauwatosa, and is that 8?
I think
yes.
So. And then.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember. West Milwaukee's out, but they're likely going to participate in this one.
Okay. Are you able to compare with other watersheds or other municipalities the effectiveness of improving water quality?
That's interesting. I mean, that would be a project that could be involved as far as implementation as permit is doing some kind of comparative watershed analysis for, you know, implementation of a watershed-based permit as compared to just your standard implementation scheme. This is a more or less a pilot project. This is the first in the state.
This is one of 3 in the country that's been designated by EPA as a pilot effort. It includes this effort in Milwaukee, a watershed in the St. Paul area of the Twin Cities, and then a watershed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so as far as EPA is concerned, this is a very novel approach that I think makes us special. What that means, though, is we're not, you know, we're believing that this is really going to work well on behalf of our municipalities. The EPA and the DNR are supportive as well, but it is very much a new effort, a pilot effort.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. I was going to just add it. You know, stormwater runoff treatment in general is a relatively new program, you know, in comparison to your traditional wastewater point sources. So, you know, we've been operating under the, you know, we have these rules that just follow the, you know, by the box rules. And, you know, I can't sit here and honestly say that it has improved water quality one way or another. I believe that it has. But, you know, it's definitely time to try to come with a different approach, and hopefully we'll see some improvements in this permit term.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there other questions by committee members? I guess not. This item is informational. Mr. Keith?
If I might, I don't know if we can pull off another technological stunt here or not, but if I could bear the time of the committee for just another minute, I'd like to show some of the output from some of the collaborative efforts that have been undertaken by some of these municipalities to generate some public education outreach commercials. And if I can manage to pull those up, and if we can get volume as well, I'd like to show those. It'll just take a minute.
Sure.
If you don't think you could.
Supervisor Broderick referred to the late Mayor Meyer's focus on non-point source pollution, and the mayor was before his time as it related to the importance of non-point source pollution to the whole spectrum of what's affecting our rivers in the lake. Something like 90% or in excess of 90% of pollution, as measured by the basics like total suspended solids or bacteria, actually comes from non-point sources. Milwaukee County, I hope you know, Milwaukee County has actually been a really key partner in an effort to get at non-point source pollution, and you're going to get a sense for that in just a second.
Put the microphone down close. Maybe we can get some impact from that.
What we were able to do is we...
What was that for? Well, that's a reminder to get your car serviced. Come on, you're leaking all over the street. That stuff goes right into the storm sewers, straight into our lakes and rivers, untreated.
I'm not too sure that's
not quite loud enough.
Okay. I'll get it serviced next week.
Again, my apologies for the technological staff who will obviously correct these as we become accustomed to the use of our new system.
We'll email you these, forward you these commercials, and hopefully you can review these in your own leisure.
The partnership I was referring to that involved Milwaukee County was actually put together relatively recently. Last winter, we put together an arrangement of about 40 different municipalities from across the region. They were allied under the umbrella of Sweetwater to the north and Root Pike Wind, another environmental nonprofit, to the south. Those municipalities, including Milwaukee County, all made cash contributions towards a pool of money. What we were able to do is Sweetwater put together a request for support from the Department of Natural Resources, from some education funds that the DNR has, and at the same time, our friends to the south in Root Pike Wind put together an application for a grant on behalf of the Village of Mount Pleasant. Between those municipal cash infusions and the DNR grants, we were able to put together a two-year campaign to try to convince the public that they have a role in non-point source pollution reduction. That campaign was had three focuses. First, and Steve gave you a sense for it, we hired a local agency, Eichenbaum Associates, to put together an ad campaign, a television-based ad campaign that used a little twist, which was instead of the dog being trained by the humans, the human is trying to train the dog. The voice of the voice of the dog was an LA comedian, that's Jeff Cesaro. He's actually a native of Kenosha. We put together seven different ads that ran on about 700 times, are running right now on our partner's station. We went this year with Fox 6 that put together the strongest proposal. In addition, we have an online campaign, and then we've got an effort to try to get to the public directly through public events at festivals, markets all over the area. We were at Fondy Market last weekend. We were at Bayview Bash. We were at Elm Grove's concert series. To try to bring you a sense for what we've been trying to tell the public, I'm going to rely on you again, Brian. What we've been doing is trying to get the public to see that they have a role to play by giving them things like the little doggy pickup bags, little buttons that highlight sparkles, that the water spaniel, and to give them a sense that they have a role to play. Just as Mayor Meyer said, you know, decades ago, the public has a role to play in terms of watching when they apply fertilizer, being more careful when there's things dripping from their car, being sure that they pick up after their dog, being careful about yard waste and not having it overspray onto the street. Milwaukee County was important both in terms of giving us a cash investment towards that campaign, but then in terms of their sponsorship of the DNR grant. You indirectly played a key role in making that regional campaign possible. We know it's going to be a multi-year campaign. We've already got the funding arranged for next year, so I'm hoping that you're going to be, if you haven't seen sparkles on your television or if you haven't seen these materials at a farmer's market or a concert or a movie near you, you're going to see it next year. Thanks for your help in that effort.
Thank you. We'll keep an eye open for sparkles.
I've seen it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation. It was enlightening. Nothing is more important to civilization, I suppose, than clean and plentiful water. So we appreciate your efforts.
Thank you for your time.
We will now return to the item we temporarily laid over, item number one.